America's Ace of the Airwaves.
CX4 calling control tower. CX4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's Ace of the Airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Gang, just a year ago, a group of Army officers, GIs, and technicians from the Boeing Aircraft Company stood together on the flat sandy soil near Wendover, Utah, the center of attraction being a long, slim rocket-propelled missile. It was one of the first of the new weapons built for the Army by Boeing and designed to fly faster than the speed of sound. These men, standing there on the Great Salt Desert, called their weapon Old Needle Nose. He was much smaller than the missiles which have been since tested in New Mexico, but on that August day in 1946, Old Needle Nose loomed large. He was 10 feet long, up on a launching tower 40 feet high. Working in the bright sunshine without their shirts, GI experts prepared him for a trip into the sky. They adjusted remote control firing equipment so that the banks of rockets could be fired from safety stations sheltered from the mighty blasts. They mounted motion picture cameras to follow his ascent thousands of feet into the heavens, and they took their places in radar stations placed in a wide ring around the launching site. There, with their radar scopes, they would follow Old Needle Nose when he roared aloft. Well, at last, all of the preparations had been completed. An Army bomber came in with a load of high brass, officers who wanted to witness the flight. In a concrete dugout 300 feet from the launching tower, an officer waited for the signal to fire. Old Needle Nose was ready to go. Oh, but now I see time's up. In just a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you what happened when Old Needle Nose took off. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. The trail Hop and Hank hoped would lead to a solution of the weird and puzzling riddle of the ghostly Avengers has instead ended in a trap. Now, in a small, barren room, lit only by a shaft of pale, silvery moonlight shining weakly through the dirty pane of a narrow window, Hop and Hank are bound, hand and foot, to two chairs. They're slumped against the ropes, heads lolling forward on the chests. Suddenly, Hop stirs. He shakes his head, first slowly, then vigorously, and at the same time strains his arms and legs in a futile attempt to free himself. Now, his mind clear, he looks around, peering into the murky darkness, trying to decide where he is. A low groan from his left brings him up with a start.
Tank. Hey, Tank. Come on, snap out of it. It's Hop.
Hop? What's going on here?
Hey, I can't move my hand. Don't tie me up like
this. Easy, fella. Keep your voice down. I don't think you can break loose.
What happened?
Don't you remember?
We flew from New Orleans to a private field near Little Rock. We rented a car.
That's right. We were looking for the hidden airstrip we spotted last night.
That's right. We found it. It was a farmhouse and a big barn.
Check. We walked into the barn and then...
Then what?
That's when the lights went out. In my head field, I think somebody used it for a drum. Looks like we're caught, but good.
Did you see anybody?
No. Whatever it was, must have been waiting right behind the door.
What do you mean, waiting? How do you know he was coming?
Yeah, he may have seen us drive up.
Go on, we turned off the lights and you know it. He couldn't have seen us.
Well, then he was expecting it.
Picked off, you mean?
Yeah.
Let's see. Only three guys knew we were coming here.
Uh-huh. Paul, Benny, and Craig. It certainly couldn't have been Paul.
So?
Benny or Craig?
And who gave us the business?
Oh, that's simple.
Martin, huh?
That's the way it looks to me. And keep your voice down. You may still be around.
And he's flying them ghost planes.
Oh, I don't know. Right now, we don't know that anybody flew them.
Yeah, but he's doing the dirty work on the say-so of somebody back in the office at New Orleans.
Yeah, we can be pretty sure of that.
Then, what if we gotta get out of here and nab him and make him talk and we'll crack the thing wide open?
Easier said than done, pal. You look hot.
Maybe if I wiggle my chair up against yours, stand together, back to back, you could untie the rope from me.
Well,
here, let me try.
Ain't there so much noise?
You can't help it. Careful, just tip over. Try and get around.
Can't push it. Did you hurt yourself?
No, but now I can't do nothing.
Oh, Lord, if Martin didn't hear that. What is it?
I think I cracked the back of the chair. Kind of loose.
Work on it, fella.
Yeah. If I could break it off, there wouldn't be nothing holding my arm.
Go on, Tank. Go on.
Just what I'm doing. Breaking it.
Good. Okay?
Yeah. I got the whole back loose from the seat part.
Nice going.
I don't think it's only rigging myself up.
Hey, hold still.
I heard something outside. I don't hear nothing. There's nobody there. Guess not. Okay, go ahead, but try not to make too much noise.
Yeah, sure.
It's not working. I've got my arm. There, I can look as well. I'm just slacking the rope now. Sure, yeah, my hands are loose.
Good boy, Tank.
I'll get my feet untied. Brother, this is a snack.
Now, stop crying and hurry up.
Okay, I'm clear. Now, hold still.
Knots between my wrists. I can feel it.
Here I have it. Yeah, the guy who tied us up was never in the Navy. It's not a good cinch. There. Thanks. Get the ropes around my legs, will you? My fingers are too stiff.
Should be.
Where do you think we are, Hop? Still in the barn?
I guess so. This looks like a small storage room.
Must be kind of late.
I don't know. Moon's too high.
There. Okay, you're all set.
Thanks. Let's go.
Ooh.
What's
I'm all right. Just a little stiff.
Yeah. Come on.
One door. Wonder where it'll take us.
Let's find out. It didn't lock.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, what?
Kind of rickety. But I can bust it down. Move back.
Wait.
Huh?
This time I did hear something.
A door slammed.
Damn.
Somebody's walking.
Coming this way, too.
I think it's Martin.
Could be.
Ready?
Ready?
Hey, shut up. On the way.
Uh-huh. Twice on the phone.
But the door's unlocked.
Yeah, I know it.
And let's get out of here for Pete's sake.
Wait a minute.
Okay. He's on the phone now. Come on.
Careful, careful.
See him?
Martin, all right. He's on the other side of the barn with the back door.
Think we can sneak out.
Wait, let me take a good look.
Look, he turned on the light.
What, God, what is it?
Take the gold light. The enemy fighters. They're here in the barn.
What?
Now I know why we never found any engines. Now I know the answer to the whole mystery.
Standing in the doorway, Hop stares into the cavernous recesses of the large barn, his eyes literally glowing in triumph. What does he see? What is the answer to the mystery? You know what I mean, gang, so stand by. The gang, when they pushed the button and sent old Needle Nose on his way upward 1 year ago, rocket science took a leap ahead. Old Needle Nose was one of the early rocket-propelled missiles developed for the Army by Boeing aircraft, and he was given his post to the wild blue yonder as the Army carried on its investigations into supersonic flight. That is, flying faster than the speed of sound. You remember he left the proving grounds on Utah's Great Salt Desert just as old Needle Nose stood poised in his 40-foot launching tower. Boeing technicians, GI experts, and a raft of high Army officers were on hand. Scattered over the flat sand, 4, 5, and 6 miles away, were the radar stations to chart the flight, and the movie cameras to record every moment of it. Then, in a reinforced dugout, 300 feet from old Needle Nose, An officer put his hand on the firing button and began to count. 20 seconds to go. 15. 10 seconds. Only 5 seconds left. 4, 3, 2, 1, he counts, and then fire! Old Needle Nose fizzles from his launching tower like a bolt of lightning, and leaving a snow-white trail of vapor, whistles up into the sky. Seconds after the takeoff, he's gone almost out of sight. Then, as the rocket spends the fuel, Old Needle Nose turns and dives back to Earth with a high-pitched scream. And at the radar scopes and the cameras, every foot of the rise and fall have been charted. How fast did he go? How high? And how well did the rockets work? And the Army began to learn the answers, thanks to the Old Needle Nose, all 10 feet of them, one of the first supersonic missiles. Someday, we may go by rocket to the moon, to the planet. And when we do, let's hope someone remembers to name one of the great spaceships Old Needle Nose. And fellas and girls, always remember, America needs fire. And now, back to our story. Sir Martin, a former pilot of the 8th Flying Service, and now the boy's captor, unlocked the door and left to answer the phone. Pump and Tank immediately took advantage of the opportunity to escape. Opening the door with great caution, Hawk took a quick look around the large, cavern-like interior of the barn, then ducked back and made an astonishing statement.
Hey, the enemy fighters are here in this barn. Now I know the answer to the whole mystery.
What do you mean? You know the answer.
Well, see for yourself. Come on. What about Martin?
Well, he's still on the phone.
Hurry up now.
Oh, my gosh. For the love of peace.
Tank, close the door. Okay, this way. Fast. And no noises.
Look, but how? They ain't planes. They're dummies.
No, not quite. They'll fly, all right. They're gliders. Here, duck down behind this wall.
Gliders. Holy cow, who'd have thought of that?
I should have. I found those pieces of soft white pine. Here, feel this wood.
White pine, all right, but how could they fly so perfect?
They were towed. Don't you remember the plane we followed here?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah, there's another large door at the Lockheed Hudson.
A reconverted war job.
And remember when we saw Zero? We crashed into something and our number 4 propeller was broken?
Yeah.
Well, the tow line there.
Of course. Right after that, the Zero went down in a spin.
From what I can see, they've been coated with a kind of luminous paint to give them that strange green light.
Yeah, but what made them burn?
Well, I don't know.
Hold it. Martin, still talking. Oh, he's coming back to go into the room we just got out of.
I wonder who's at the other end.
Other end of what?
The phone call.
Now that we got him, we'll know everything. He's around the other side of the wing. We can jump him when he goes by.
No, there we are.
But he'll find out we're gone, he'll come looking for us. This way, we can surprise him.
Martin isn't the only one that has a surprise. Now, Tank, we'll let him go for the time being and take our chances. It's a big fish or nothing.
So, crouched behind the wing of the glider, Hawk and Tank watch with narrowed eyes as Martin opens the door to the room in which he had held them captive. In a second, we discover their absence. Hawk is taking a dangerous chance, sacrificing the all-important element of surprise. But he must have a plan in mind. Gang, the riddle of the ghostly Avengers is going to an action-packed climax, so don't miss the next exciting episode. Tune in and fly with Pop Paladin, America's Ace of the Airways. So long, Hawk! We'll be seeing you same time, same neutral station. Pat Carrigan was a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All-American Comics magazine.